Thank you, Justin. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. While you're turning there, I want to read out of the Amplified. In Colossians, the book of Colossians, it talks about the feast days in Colossians 2:16. But then verse 17, it tells us this, and I want to read it out of the Amplified. Colossians 2:17 says, such things, in other words, the feast days, the new moon, the Sabbath, and so forth, such things are only the shadow of things that are to come. And they have only a symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it belongs to Christ. Amen? The body of it. So the Old Testament, the feasts, you know, they had seven feasts, the types and the shadows, all of that was to point to teach us about Jesus Christ. Amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, you know, the person of Passover. The person of Passover. Passover is not just a feast, it's a person. It is about Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when we understand on this day that we celebrate the resurrection and bringing the feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, bringing that together through the ministry of Christ, it takes us to where we're at today in the New Testament with the reality of living in that feast every day. That's what the Old Testament, the type and the shadow, is teaching us, that we don't have to wait. We have a God who done what He said He would do, and so He's going to do it every day of our lives. Amen? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's, for sake of time, just read verses 7 and 8. A lot of meat in this chapter, but we're dealing on one specific thing this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Notice what the word says. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. Now mark that down. Come on, you're a believer in Christ this morning. You've been purged. Hallelujah. Glory. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed. Now mark that is down. That's active. That's continually. That's not something 2,000 years ago. That's continual. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep. Hallelujah. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Hallelujah. Brother Corey, would you pray? Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So glad to see you this morning on Resurrection Day. Amen. I'm glad that we get to be in the house of the Lord together. What a privilege. What an opportunity it is. You know, this here is the type of the new year. Israel, they had New Year at Rosh Hashanah. You know, we talked about that last October. But this here is the time of New Year, too, because it's a type and a shadow of a new life. When you and I, when we meet Jesus Christ, the bread of life, and we meet Him as the Passover lamb, we get born again, and we're starting on a new journey, amen, and we're to live in that. But I want us to look at some things this morning. I want you to mark this down in your mind's eye. I want to quickly look at Passover past. Passover past. I want to look at Passover provision. Passover provision. What you and I, what Jesus accomplished for us through the provision of Passover. And then I want to look at how we can have Passover perfected. Because the Passover feast is an ordinance forever. Amen. And it's an ordinance forever because even as Christians taking this Jewish feast into our lives, it's the reality of partaking of the bread of life every day. Of sitting at His table every day, of feasting from Him every day. Amen? So, anyway, So he tells us here in this, Paul's correcting the church here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They got some trouble in the church. Come on, everywhere there's people, everywhere I'm at, there's going to be trouble. But guess what? There's a Jesus that's greater than any trouble. He's greater than any problem. He's greater than any sin. And so this morning, no matter what the enemy would try to tell you and I, Jesus is a conqueror. He's an overcomer. He's our victorious Lord and Savior. And when we partake of that very reality, he becomes a part of us. So let's look at this morning. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 7, he said, I want you to purge out. I want you to allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you thoroughly. Now think about that. He's talking to church people. You and I today, thank God for the initial washing of the blood of Jesus. But as Brother Corey talked about this morning, we're in a process of sanctification. And that process is that when we recognize that Jesus is alive and well, he's on the right hand of the Father, but he's on my throne of my heart. He's on your throne of your heart. Amen. That there is something happening in our life. And that what happens is that Jesus, the water of the Word, it washes through us. It comes over us as we partake in fellowship with him. And it purges things out of your life and my life. There's things tomorrow that you won't know of that were sin until you get to the place of meeting Jesus. Remember the Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, he said, lay aside every sin, every weight, and every sin that so easily besets us. So there's things that's weights, and there's things that's sin. And there's things that you don't even know about today, but tomorrow you're going to, what? You're going to step up into a new place in Christ because he is your Passover. He is your resurrection. He is the one that, as Brother Corey said just a moment ago in prayer, he is the one that gives us the Zoe, the God kind of life. Amen? And so this morning, he wants us to do these things. He wants us to purge out the old leaven, our old way of thinking. Come on, you and I, if we're not careful, even though we get born again, we can get in a form of religion. We can get in a form of what we think we should do or shouldn't do. You know, but when we come to God because of his grace, by his grace in everything of our life, we receive. You know, we got to purge out all the old way of thinking, the old way of doing things. And so the person of Passover is Jesus Christ, is the intimacy of the whole Word of God that was concealed, now being revealed. That was a promise, but now it's your confidence, it's your faith, it's my confidence, it's my hope that's working every moment of my life. Amen? Now notice what he said. He said, for even Christ, our Passover, so he is the person of Passover, is sacrificed for us. Everything that happened in this Bible, it happened planned out by your Father. Now think about that. That means everything about your life and my life, there's no happenstance, there's no mistakes. God is involved in everything. Yes, there is a devil out there, and yes, he has to deal with us in this flesh body, but our God, he had a plan from the foundation of the world how to take care of you and I and to introduce us to the person of Passover. Every day, fellowshipping with him, feasting at his table, being changed. Amen? And so we can allow the Word of God to come into us, and the Word of God to purify us, and the Word of God to take us to the place of showing other people that Jesus is alive and well. He's real. Amen? And so this morning, let's think about this Passover just a little bit. He told us in verse 8, let us therefore keep the Passover. You've got to make an effort to keep Passover every day of your life. Just as the children of Israel, it was laid out for them at a certain time for these feast days to come to pass. It's laid out in your life, in my life, that we what? That we make this effort, that we keep the feast, that we keep Jesus as the Passover lamb. We keep him as the one who's the answer to who God wants us to be and what the devil wants to keep us from. Amen? Now, so let's go. Let's look at Passover past. Go with me. You know where we're going. We could go to Leviticus 23, but let's go to Exodus 12. Let's go to Exodus 12 and mark down Leviticus 23 and study that in your home study time. It'll really bless you and encourage you. But in Exodus chapter 12, notice what's said here. Starting in verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now think about this. Oh, when you and I, when we got to a place in our life where we heard the Word of God and we wanted something new. Come on, every one of us, we come to that place where we were sick of our sin. We were sick of where we were at. And all of a sudden, we heard the Word of God that never stops talking. The Lord is always speaking by His Spirit. He's always drawing His children unto Him. And He has a word for us continually. And when we come to that point where we said, I want to stop and hear what God says more than I want to hear what the flesh says, more than I trust in what the world says, then all of a sudden, He showed us the revelation of the Lamb. And he's, when we come to that point, He said, on the 10th day of the month, the number 10, meaning law, meaning testimony, meaning responsibility to God's law, to His testimony. When we accept our responsibility to that, and we went and took a lamb for ourselves. We took Jesus for ourselves. Amen. He wasn't just somebody that hung on a cross. He just wasn't somebody that was a symbol of religion. He just wasn't somebody. He was my somebody. He become my king. He become my lamb. He become the one who shed blood for me. All of a sudden, I took Him into my own house. Come on, your house is your life. Amen. It's who you are. And you made that commitment. And you recognize God's going to make this brand new. Come on, today's the day. Old times, they've been passed away, but guess what? The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life, and the person of Passover will make it real. Jesus will make it possible. So I don't care how much time's passed. I don't care how much struggle and things has happened. And you said, well, I believe God was going to do this, and it hasn't come to pass. Guess what? This is the time. This is the time. This is a new year. This is a new time in Jesus. And so He goes through all of this instruction, and He tells us in verse number 6 that we keep it into the 14th day. The 14th day of the month. The number 14, Bible numerics, it means deliverance. It means salvation. So you see, from the 10th to the 14th, there was a worldly time, because the number 4 means world. You and I, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen? But we have the law and the testimony of Jesus Christ in our life that brings salvation. It brings deliverance to us. But yet we're in this world, and so in this world, you're going to suffer tribulation. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer all of these things, but we have to purge those things out by the person of Passover, by the Lamb, amen? And when we do that, as we look at this Passover, we see that this Passover brought God's people out of Egypt. It brought them out of bondage. This morning, you and I, when we partake of that Passover lamb, that person of Passover, it brings us out of bondage. It brings us out from control of Pharaoh, the type of the devil, amen? You don't have to be bound by anything, because Jesus said, whom the Son makes free is free indeed, amen? That's not just in there to fill space. That's a reality of truth, of power, glory. So this morning, you can walk in liberty. You can have victory like you've never had before because of what was done in the past. Jesus fulfilled it. The type and the shadow, He fulfilled it. He lived it. And now it's yours and mine for the taking. Amen? Now notice, it goes all through about having the blood applied. And we have to do that. But drop down to verse number 12 for sake of time. He said in Exodus 12:12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, you and I, we know that with a strong hand, He brought His people out. And the same thing is going to happen here really shortly. Come on now, Jesus is coming soon, and just as He fulfilled this Feast of Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the Feast of Rest, it's going to happen. Amen. It's going to come to pass. You're going to get called out. But in the meantime, you are called out of Egypt. Amen. You're not in a place where you're bound. You're not in a place where you don't have victory and freedom. See, this morning, as Brother Donnie was talking about that, what the Spirit of God was speaking to him, I could feel that limitation that the enemy was trying to put in our lives. That feeling of, well, if I can't do this, I can't do that. No, you and I, it's not what we do or don't do. It's our confidence in the grace of God this morning. Hallelujah. Just like when we were praying with Zach and Zach was praying there. We come to God not because of our own merit, but we come to Him because of the grace that He gave us in Jesus. That means by the grace of Jesus, we qualify for all of these promises. Amen. The person of Passover, He comes and He meets us where we're at. And He met the children of Israel here. And look what He said in verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And God said, When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Come on, you are under the blood. Amen. You're protected because you have called upon the name of the Lord. The Holy Ghost has sealed you with the seal of redemption. That's what the whole of the Old Testament is about. It's about that type and the shadow to cause us to understand what we have today. To understand that we're not under the thumb of an enemy anymore. That we're under the hand of a mighty God. A God that has His hand open to us. God's hand is open to His children, wanting to bless you, wanting to pour into your life, wanting to pour in my life. But we've got to be in the place where we see that by His grace we can receive. In our faith in that grace, in our faith in that Savior, that Father that wants to work in every situation and circumstance this morning. So I want us to see that just as sure as Passover happened, Tabernacles, the seventh feast, the completeness is going to happen. But in the meantime, since you know a God fulfilled His word, Jesus said that I come to fulfill the word in Matthew 5. Not one jot, not one tittle will be changed, but I will fulfill it. Jesus done that. And because He done that, you can have confidence this morning. Amen. That everything that the children of Israel walked through and walked out, that Jesus, He is the reality of it in your life this morning. So let's look at, go with me to the book of Genesis. And let's look what God told him and told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Let's look at the provision of Passover. Because see, God had a plan all along. In Genesis chapter 15, God talks to Abram, and He gives him all this instruction. And Abram offers a sacrifice, and the fowls of the air come to try to take that sacrifice. But Abraham, he protects it. And notice what God says starting in verse 13. Genesis 15:13. And He said, God said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Verse 14. And also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. Great substance. Now think about it. They went down there with 70 people, roughly. Around 70 people, God brings them out anywhere from 2.5 to 3 million people. 600,000 men, but probably 2.5 to 3 million people. And they come out, and it said that they spoil the Egyptians. In other words, all their pay for 430 years, that full sum of that pay, they brought it out. That's a good place to shout, because every one of us, we've been through an Egyptian experience. But because we've met the person of Passover, everything that we were under bondage to and that we served the enemy in, God says, I want to bring you out of that, and I want to bring you out with a great substance. Now, we're not, thank God He takes care of us financially, but this is so much greater than finances. Come on now, we're talking about substance of promise, of provision, of fellowship, of a God that is your Father that loves you and knows you intimately and wants to place you in the place where you can prosper perfectly. Amen. Come on now, think about when you were a child. I can think about where my grandpa, he would put me in a different place than he would my brother. Why? Not because He loved one more or one less, because He wanted both of us to succeed. And He put me where I could succeed. Amen. How much more will our Father put us where we can always overcome, we can walk in victory, we can be a blessing to everybody at all times. Amen. Because of the provision of Passover. He wants to bring you out. So let's look at some things. What's some of the great substance that He wants to bring you and I out in such a power? Go into Romans 2:4. Romans 2:4. These are yours. These are in your heart. They're in your life. And they're a part of who you are. Romans 2:4, a great instructive chapter. But notice what he says. Paul is writing to the ones who are in a mess and they need the truth. And he says, "Or despisest thou the richness or the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that," look what happens, "the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." So the first great treasure that you've got to see when you come out because of Passover, because you met the person of Passover and you come out of Egypt, was that it was God's goodness that brought you out. God's goodness caused you, caused me to understand that we needed to repent. Don't you love that reality? That's what is in your storehouse. That is in your life. And so that means that you have the ability to give that seed to somebody else to where they can experience the goodness of God. See, the whole world, they've got God is put in a box. He's kindly misconstrued before them. He's a God that doesn't want them to have any fun, doesn't want them to be blessed, doesn't want them to have promise and provision, where you can tell them, "Let me tell you what my God done for me. I had my back turned on him. I talked about him. I talked about his people, but he loved me so much. His goodness was so great in my life that it led me to repentance." Come on, that's the person of Passover. That's Jesus. That's the Christ. Amen. And that richness is in our lives. That goodness was just the start. That was the seed to show you and I how good our Father was and how good he wanted to minister in our life and what he wanted to do to us. Now, go with me to 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Let's look at the second R of this. You know the scripture very well. You could paraphrase it, but let's read it. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed," mark it down in your mind's eye, "you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain," your empty conversation, empty behavior, "but that was received by the tradition from your fathers, but as with the precious blood of Christ," "as the Lamb without blemish and without spot." Come on now. That's the goodness of God. That's the promise of God. That's the richness of God, is that you recognize and you realize that God brought you and I out of Egypt. And when he brought us out by the blood of his own Son, the most precious substance in all the universe. The true riches. And that blood was applied to your life. And now you go in the authority of the name of Jesus by that blood. That blood not only washed you white, but it continually, as you stay in the flow, it washes you. It keeps you in right standing with God the Father. It's your authority to be able to bow down at the mercy seat. That's the throne of grace that Hebrews 4 talks about. That's the place of all promise and all provision. That's the substance. That's the great richness that you have brought out of Egypt. See, the devil said that everything that you went through was for nothing, and it was to destroy you, to harm you. No, it was to get you and I in a place and a promise that we see that God is greater, that God has the victory, amen, that God has given us the person of Passover, Jesus the Christ. Now, he not only does he do that for us, does he give us the ability to repent and the ability to walk in that redemption, but he gives us the ability to understand that grace. Go back with me to Ephesians. And I know you know these verses, but I just like to read them. They just encourage me and build me up so much. His grace is so powerful. Look what it says in Ephesians 1:7. Well, let's read 1:6 too. It says in Ephesians 1:6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, where he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Now notice this, "in whom we have redemption," just like we read in Peter, "through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace." God's grace. God's grace is so rich. It's so rich, and you've brought that out of a bondage situation. The person of Passover, Jesus the Christ, his grace is operating in your life to enable you, to empower you to have sufficiency. That's the person of Jesus. That's the person of Passover. That's the person that you're celebrating the resurrection of this morning. Amen? This grace is in your life. And notice what it says. Because of, you've been made accepted. Accepted in the beloved. You have the authority to go where you've never been before. See, if we're not careful, we just walk where we walked before. But what did God tell Abraham? He said, I want you to look, and then I want you to walk. And everywhere the soles of your feet land, that's going to be yours. You and I, we need to walk in places we never walked before. We need to walk out some promises. We need to walk out some provisions. We need to walk out some things not just for us, but for those who are limited on this day of resurrection. We need to show them that it's real, it's true, it's genuine. Amen? Hallelujah. And when we do that, it brings God glory. I want to bring God glory, don't you? Because look what it said. He said, in whom we have redemption, in verse 7, through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Now, you think about the riches of His grace, and you know that Ephesians 2:8 says that we're saved by that grace. But look what, as he keeps talking about that grace, look in Ephesians 2:6. It says, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're sitting there now because of the grace of God. And when we sit in our place and our position with the person of Passover, it brings glory to Him. Because see, when you lift up Jesus by sitting in your place. See, I have a tendency sometimes to yield to the flesh and I sit in the weak place. But when I sit in the place God would have, it brings Him glory because everybody knows, starting right here, that God set you there. Amen? And that's the great riches that we're bringing out of Egypt. That's the great substance. It is repentance, redemption. It's grace and it's glory. It's glorious. You know, Brother Lay brought up the scripture, Brother Whitby did, about Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply. Okay, but how did He do that? Through His grace. Through His grace. God wants to supply, but you've got to walk out what the person of Passover wants to bring into your life. I've got to walk out what He's promised me. Amen? And if we will do that, all of the reality of Jesus will be magnified into those who are without. Okay, we could look at some more, but we won't. Let's go to back to our text. Now, notice what he said in 1 Corinthians 5. He said, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And he said in verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast. Not with the old leaven. Not with our old way of thinking, our old way of acting, our old way of talking. But with the newness of salvation. He said, let us keep that feast. So what? How do I keep the feast of Passover in the New Testament? How do I take that shadow in Exodus 12 or in Leviticus 23? How do I take that type and I walk in it? How do I live it every day of my life? How do I make it so real to somebody else that they say, can I meet this person of Passover? Can I meet this one that you're talking about that is resurrected? How do I do that? How do I make that something that they can see? And we can look at many places, but let's go to Proverbs 15 in closing. And I want you to see what a promise we've got here. In Proverbs 15, verse number 13, Proverbs 15, 13, look what it says. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Don't you love that promise? A joyful heart, in other words, makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Now you and I, we have a cheerful countenance because Jesus has come in and He's healed everything that was broken. Amen? He's done it for us. But notice what happens when we see that. Verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding. Say, that's me. The heart of him or her, no gender intended, that hath understanding, seeketh knowledge. But the mouth of fools, they eat on foolishness, on folly. On folly. This morning, how many times have I chased the wind? I'm talking about me now. I'm not talking about you, so don't look at me in that tone of voice. I've chased the wind, amen. I've fed on foolishness, on folly that didn't matter. It didn't mean anything. In 24 hours, I thought, what was that about? Because see, the devil's very good at his distraction. But God has something to feed on every day. Now, stay with me just for a second. Verse 15. All the days, 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he or she that is of a merry heart, mark this down, he or she that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Now that word merry heart, it's not, because sometimes we don't feel like jumping up and down. We don't feel like running. Amen? It's not, the merry heart is not merry is what you, the word is tob, it's good. See, when you got born again, you got a brand new heart. And it was made by a good God, and a good God placed a good heart in you. Amen? So let's read it this way. He or she that has been born again, they have this good heart. They have a continual feast. So what was the feast, the Passover, all about? Remember, it was a 7-day, it went from Passover to that 7-day feast of unleavened bread. You and I, we eat at the table of the Lord every day. Every day, because He made your heart good. Now, immediately, you know, because I know from my own life, the devil tries to disqualify us from sitting down there. He said, well, you thought this, you felt like that, you said this, therefore you don't know. Just like we prayed with Zach, we come by the grace of God. And we can sit down at that table because Jesus said we could. You see, Jesus gave me a card with my name written on it. He gave you a card with your name written on it in the marriage supper, but in everyday supper of the Lamb. Amen? We can sit down. And because Jesus said we could, we can do it. He said we shall have a continual feast. Hallelujah. That's why Brother Donnie said that this morning. God wants us to feast on the good things. But if I have something in there that's hindering me, fear, doubt, anxiety, anger, whatever it might be, I'll start snacking on that instead of feasting on the truth of the Lord. But the person of Passover this morning, he wants to feed us with truth. Amen? Look at the next verse. Better is little with the fear, the reverence of the Lord, than great treasure and trouble therewith. The things of God can't touch the things of this world. Amen? Look at his last verse, verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Don't you love Proverbs? Oh, so much wisdom in this. In other words, what he's saying is, don't let the devil talk you out of God's best. I can't let the devil talk me out of God's best. On this resurrection day, the person of Passover, he wants me to come and sit down with him. And he's going to give me what I need that will forever change my life. And it'll fulfill his call and his will in and through my life. Amen? Hallelujah. You are a person born of a person that's born of God. Come on, Jesus, the begotten Son of God, come into your life and cause you to be born again. But we've got to partake of that reality, and we've got to do it every day, or we'll be moving back instead of moving forward. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful time, this day that we celebrate the resurrection. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that each one of us, that we sit down with you and we partake of what you'd have for us this morning, where we can eat of this bread, this continual feasting, and we can move past every limitation, every hindrance, and we can be all that you called us to be. Oh, let it be, Father. I ask you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, would you come? Would you come and say, Lord, I want to feast and I want to eat from what your word says about me this morning. Now remember, because of God's grace, that richness that you brought out of the things that used to bind you, now you're in the place where you're feasting on the goodness of God. And He wants to show you that every dead thing in your life, God has something that is better. He wants to speak life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. We need to come to the resurrection. We need to come to the one who has life and let him speak into our hearts.